Welcome to episode 5 of Trivial Arguments. We'll, of course, do some trivia, but more importantly, I think for the first time, really, we'll get into some arguments. I'm here with Peter, who you might not know, but if you do know, Peter's one of my best friends, and he's also, he's one of my best friends, and his wife is also one of my best friends, and he also gets the privilege of calling me his brother-in-law when I marry his sister in 5 months. We've drank beer in a bathtub together, not to be confused with spending time in a bathtub with him, which is Danny's thing. We sang Walking in Memphis together, and he told me I was the best natural athlete he's ever seen. So that's pretty cool, too. So, Peter, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. I'll just say one of those things is not true. So you guys can decide. You guys can decide which one that is.
He's being modest. All of them are true. What is also true is the Bulls and how terrible they are in the fourth quarter. So let's pretty much just get into that because I'm tired of watching them lose games.
So you mentioned to me that you wanted to talk about that earlier today. And it's something that I've noticed for like the past few years. And I kind of always chalked up to bad coaching, just bad personnel in general. But I actually don't think it's necessarily a closing out games problem that the Bulls have. I think it's more when teams go on their runs. The Bulls tend to let those runs drag on longer than a lot of other teams. So even in the past few games that they've won, there's been like big, big runs late in games. And it's not that they're collapsing at the end of the game. It's just like an ongoing problem that I've seen for the past few years, and it hasn't really changed.
Yeah. I mean, so they were winning against the Spurs. They led by 23 and then they lost by 7. They played the Nuggets. They led by 14, lost by 4. We were together for on Friday when Zach LaVine had his 50-point game, and he pretty much was the only scorer other than Vukovic. In the first and second quarter, they were up by 13, 66-53, and then they were completely outscored 67-42 in the third and fourth. It might also be a coaching issue. I mean, Boylan lost control of the Bulls for God knows how long. Hoiberg couldn't control him. So, I mean, I think Billy Donovan is actually, like, doing his job, and it's the first coach in a while since maybe Thibodeau. But, I mean, Bulls have 20 games left. 15 of them are against 500 teams or better. So, I mean, the fourth quarter is definitely going to be pretty important in the next, you know, 3-4 weeks or whatever. But, I mean, how do you feel about them actually, like, you know, I think right now they're the 10 seed. The Knicks are now 27-27 in the 8 seed. Bulls are 10 seed, 22-30.
Yeah, they have no shot of catching the Knicks. None. I mean, if you look at their schedule, they got like, 22 games, something like that left on their schedule.
So they got 20 games left. And
4 or 5 games back. You got to be winning 75, 80% of your games for the rest of the season. And they got some good teams they're playing. They have no shot of making the AC.
Yeah. So, I mean, they play the Knicks. They play the Knicks once. They play the Celtics twice. Yeah. They play the Hornets twice. They play the Bucks twice. Play the Nets, I think, 2 or 3 times. The Heat twice.
Yeah.
So,
And that Nets.
And even if they win half of those games, that they're still.
Yeah. That's an anomaly. That's not going to happen again. Bad. Making the Nets.
Oh, where the Nets had like all of their starters out. And
yeah. And like, I know everyone's on this like whole, well, Kyrie on his own. I think, what is he, 3-1 or 4-1 now?
Yeah. He also thinks the earth is flat.
Exactly. So. Well, I just see this like it's 4 games. You're not making any, drawing any conclusions on 4 games on anyone. No. You know, I mean, if that was the case, people would still be saying Lauri Markkanen should be a starter right now.
I mean, he's been doing better off the bench. So, I mean, until they finally get rid of him this offseason, I think the bench is exactly where he should be.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like I said, I think the Bulls are not a playoff team. But I think in the next 2-3 years, they might be. And even, you know, as soon as next year. So, I guess that's really the silver lining to it all. I mean, I don't really know. Most people anticipated them making the playoffs this year. And I don't know if it's such a terrible thing if they don't. Looks like they're, for the first time in a while, building towards something. So I'm not too upset if they don't make the playoffs this year. But
I don't think I'd be upset. Wow, did you see that?
We're also watching the Hawks. So all four teams are on, if you're counting the stupid White Sox. So.
Oh, the Hawks almost just gave up another shorthanded goal.
I don't
necessarily see it as a bad thing if they don't make the playoffs. If you actually see progress from now to the end of the year. And to me, progress isn't Vooch and LaVine building their chemistry, because to me, I just think that's going to happen no matter what. I don't see that not happening over the next offseason.
Right.
To me, that's Pat Will maybe getting a little more assertive. I mean, what was it, last night or two nights ago was the last game they had? I think I saw you had like two or three shots. It's like, buddy, you started every game. I get he's 19. I get he's young.
Yeah.
He's a starter. You can't shoot the ball three times.
Yeah, I mean, and they've been giving him a decent amount of run. So, I mean, for him to shoot the ball two or three times is, pretty bad. But, I mean, if you're counting that LaVine game, nobody really shot the ball besides him and Vuk. So, I mean, that is an outlier, but, yeah.
Not the 50-point game. Troy Brown Jr. just came off the bench the other day, put up 15 points in like 20 minutes or something like that.
Yeah. I know Sadoransky in that 50-point game, he had 0 points in 33 minutes, but he also had 10 assists.
Exactly. So. Yeah. And that's the thing is it'd be one thing if Pat Will – I don't mean to be ragging on him. I think he's a good player, and I think he shows a lot of – here it is right here. I'm sorry. Look at this. Pure luck. I don't think he's a bad player. I think he has the potential to be a very good player. But
I mean, he's been getting high praise from a lot of people. Exactly. So I don't know why he's not just.
When you're getting 25, 30 minutes a night, you got to be, something's got to be on the box score. You know, if it's not points, it's got to be rebounds. If it's not rebounds, it's got to be that you're showing up defensively. And it just seems like more often than not, you get these 4-point games out of Pat Will.
Yeah.
4 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. And it's like, look, that's just not good enough. You know? I mean, people are talking about moving on from Lauri Markkanen because he's shown that he can't be a 20-10 guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, so what? You're going to replace him with the power forward with Pat Will and you give him leeway because he's 19 years old. But at a certain point, you got to say, look, we're trying to win here.
Yeah.
You know, you could develop on your own time or you could develop off the bench, but 25, 30 minutes a night. We need more than that.
Yeah. I mean, especially if they're going to keep him, keep him as a starter. I mean, the minutes have to amount to something. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't play 30 something minutes and have 2 or 3 shots. I mean, I understand that, LaVine is their primary scorer, which is fine. I mean, that was always the case, but he can't, have 50 points each game. He needs some type of help. So, I mean, it's just little things like that, gets pretty frustrating because it's like there's a couple games where Pat Williams looks amazing and he's stuffing Kawhi and they're calling him Paw or Claw or whatever the hell it is and baby Kawhi. And then there's games where he disappears and it's like, okay, well, they're giving you all this run. Billy Donovan's giving you, all this time to improve in motion. And, it just isn't really amounting to as much as they thought it would. But I mean, we were talking outside of the pod about, if the Bulls don't make the playoffs and they get a high draft pick, somewhere in the 4 or 5 range or whatever. I mean, would that be so terrible? I mean, I know everybody wants to, have playoff basketball and playoff hockey and, whatever else. But I mean, if that means that they make the playoffs and then get knocked out and it means nothing, then, what was the point of that?
I mean, to me, when I think, I actually most of the time agree with the whole idea that playoff experience is worth something. So a lot of Chicago fans, at least in our group, talk about how it's not good enough to be a middling team year after year. I kind of think it is if the guys who are getting the playoff experience, A, need the playoff experience, so they're not guys who've been in a bunch of times and are proven losers in the playoffs, or B, are actually part of your future. So like when you look at this Bulls team right now, I like what they put together at the trade deadline. I just don't see a lot of it as permanent. I mean, Tice's contract is up at the end of this year.
Yeah.
So he could easily be gone. Aminu, his contract is through next year. He's not playing.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I don't think he's played at all.
Yeah, so Lauri Markkanen is still playing. Like, I understand you don't want to just stop playing him, but at least in my mind, Lauri Markkanen's gone, and I think there's a good chance we get nothing for him. Everybody has high hopes of a sign and trade for Lauri Markkanen. I just don't know why he would sign and trade when you see somebody like Bertans last year. What did he get, yeah. $80 million?
Right.
I mean, why would Lauri Markkanen settle for anything less than that? You know,
Cristiano Felicio was making $8 million a year.
Exactly. So I think Bulls fans need to get it like maybe start thinking about it and go, you know what? There's a good chance Lauri Markkanen's walking at the end of this year and the Bulls are getting nothing for him. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. It's just, if that's the case, what are we doing? Playing him 20, 25 minutes a night off the bench. What does it matter?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to be here next year. Aminu will.
Well, that's the thing.
Point where you say, you know what, maybe we need Aminu in the game. And plus a lot of the problems a lot of people say are defensive problems with the Bulls. And Aminu is a defensive-minded player, so.
Yeah, I mean, them giving Laurie all these minutes that, you know, if at the end of the day he's just going to, you know, fade into the sunset, I mean, then that makes no sense. But the sign and trade, I don't think, you know, maybe a couple months ago was possible. But I mean, I think at this point, he's just going to walk.
And like the big sign and trade rumors that you're constantly reading about are a sign and trade with Lonzo.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. I look at this Bulls team and everybody just centers in on this point guard position. We need a point guard. We need a point guard. It's like, look, at the end of the day, we have two all-stars that are going to be playing pick and roll with each other. That's Zach LaVine and Vucevic.
Yeah.
What happens when you bring another point guard in here? I don't think we need some point guard who's going to be distributing the ball like that. I think a point guard kind of in the same mold as Sato is a guy who's going to play defense. He's not going to look for a shot first. He's going to be a good three-point shooter. And yeah, Lonzo's a better three-point shooter than he was when he came into the league, but he's not great.
No.
You know, and In my mind, I'd be looking for a better small forward before I'd be looking for a new point guard if I were the Bulls, especially seeing Sato's. I believe Sato's signed through the next year, is he not?
I think so.
Yeah.
How long do they have Vuk for?
I think he's got 2 years after this one.
Oh, okay. I mean.
I never really understood that everybody's focus on a point guard. Hawks score just now.
Noise.
I don't know. I get it, but I don't see why you want to be taking the ball out of Zach LaVine's hands. Zach LaVine's proven that he's one of the best scorers in the league. I mean, since Vuk has come to the team, I don't even know what he's averaging, but what does he put up? 13 assists, 7 assists, 6 assists, 6 assists.
Yeah.
And I know he's stacked some of those numbers already this year, but it just seems like it's so much easier for him to create.
I mean, I think you have to put more people who are going to get Zach LaVine the ball.
Exactly. And you need shooters to spread the court so they're not clogging up the lane. And look, I like Lonzo. I think he's a good perimeter defender. I think he could fit in a system with the Bulls. I just think if you're going down this road where you're going to have a center as a primary scorer and you're going to be playing pick and roll, I'd rather have LaVine and Vuk playing that pick and roll and not Lonzo and Vuk and LaVine sitting in the corner waiting for a three-point shot.
Right. I mean, I don't even know who in the draft next year, if the Bulls don't make the playoffs and they end up getting a high pick, I don't even know who's available that would, you know, benefit them
small
the most.
Forwards? There are none.
Yeah.
So of all these big players, what do you got, that Evan Mobley?
Yeah.
He's not a small forward. Jalen Suggs is a guard.
Well, that's what I mean.
Cade Cunningham is a guard. And that's fine. I'm fine if they're not building through the draft for the next couple of years.
Take the best player and, you know, walk. I mean.
Mm-hmm. But I just, when I look at this lineup and I look at the holes that they have or the holes that they will have, to me, the small forward position is a much more glaring issue than the point guard position.
Right.
I mean, and then on top of that, it's like everyone's like, we need a true ball distributor. The Bulls are averaging like 30 plus assists right now.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
How much more distributing of the ball? Yeah.
I don't get that argument at all.
No. I mean, I can understand, you know, needing more than two shooters on the team, mm-hmm. but I mean, they move the ball enough.
What you get in 3-and-D players, they happen to most of the time be small forwards.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, when I look at the holes, all of the holes are in the forward position.
Yeah. I mean, I thought for a while that Markkanen was the answer, and then he bulked up and everybody was like, oh, like Markkanen's big now. Like, now we're unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And then he just like shit the bed and nothing happened.
Yeah. And now that he's a bench player and he watched swoop bag people down the past few games, now all of a sudden he wants to post up smaller guys.
Yeah. All of a sudden he remembered that he's over 6 feet and he's like, well, wait a minute. Yeah. If I just stand straight up.
Yeah. Even when you watch him, I don't know if you notice this, when you watch him post guys up,
and he backs off.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I don't mean for this to be the hate on Lauri Markkanen podcast. I like Lauri Markkanen. He's just disappointed me for the past few years. And I'm kind of over it.
Yeah, I like him, but I like him somewhere else.
he looks so out of place posting people up.
Yeah.
I mean, you see him. He posts up somebody who's like 6'5", 6'6", and it's almost like he's fading away from him. It's like, buddy, you're 7 feet tall.
He always looks like he's playing defense, like a kid, just like the Tom Hanks from Big, where all of a sudden he's like a kid in a big person's body. And he's like, well, wait a minute. What if I like did this move and like swung my arms a little bit? He just always looks like he's mismatched and against guys that are smaller than him.
Exactly. I'd be curious to know at what point in his like amateur career, Lauri Markkanen put on all this height. Because I would bet
to develop the skills to the height or the height to the skills?
Well, I would bet it's late, because it seems like like big men who've always been big
know how to throw their body around.
Yeah, they know how to throw their body around. And he just seems like he shies away from it so much that I would bet it was late in his career late in his teens when he started putting on.
Yeah, he was probably a little kid who had to develop 3-point shooting and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he got big and was like, oh, not now I'm a big player. Mm-hmm. And then just never learned how to be a big player.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd buy it. That's the most logical explanation I have for why all of a sudden he goes game to game and he's like, oh, I'm a tall player now, or I'm a 3-point shooter now. Or, I mean, he's just been too inconsistent for him to be a part of the long-term plans. So, I mean, and like I said, they're going to need somebody who can actually like score and play defense. Defense has always been their biggest issue, and they have, you know, the toughest teams coming up in the next couple weeks. So it's not like they really have time to adjust on the fly. It's going to be fairly rough. They'll probably get some lucky ones against teams. You know, they might beat the Grizzlies today. I don't even know what they're doing against the Grizzlies, but they might beat the Grizzlies, and then all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, like the Bulls actually have it. And it's like, no, they had it for like a day, or Memphis didn't have it, and that's why they're, you know, winning or whatever. So, I mean, it's just more inconsistency from a team that, you know, probably could benefit from some type of, like, identity.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I digress. The Bulls are just going to be the Bulls. And the Blackhawks are just going to be the Blackhawks. And at one point in time, they were in first place for like 24 hours. And then
in points.
I
mean, I think they already did. They not decide this year already that there were going to be some teams that weren't going to catch up in games, or is that still?
No, I think they already said that, like, you know, if you're on the outside looking in, you're probably just going to be on the outside.
All right.
I mean, the Hawks right now are fifth in the Central, which the whole new division thing is just garbage, because they just stack the box against the Hawks. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, the Hawks are the, you know, fifth best in the Central. And it's like, no, it's in another division, they might be, you know, in the top two or three. But
you see that? Connelly in his first game with the Hawks just put them up 3-2.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I think that was from Stillman. I think that's a Stillman assist. So
two new guys scored.
Stillman, I don't know if you caught the beginning of the game. He's 100% the reason that first goal went in on the Hawks.
Yeah.
But he's looked real good since then.
Yeah, I mean, the Hawks made a bunch of moves today that, I mean, you would know more than I would whether, like, those moves were beneficial or whatever. You, like, every morning you wake up and read off the Blackhawks lines and then you go to work. So, I mean, they made a couple moves today that, I mean, you can probably tell me whether it's a long-term move or just a fill the hole kind of move or whatever else.
So, in my opinion, from what I've listened to, I think every interview that Stan Bowman's given to the media so far, at least it's been on major podcasts.
Didn't he have one today?
Since the offseason. So I didn't watch that. Oh. So I guess I'm wrong right away. But all the ones, if you're searching podcasts and you look at some of the main ones and all the media tours he's been taking throughout the year, he's been pretty consistent since that letter came out talking about the rebuild, that even if the Hawks become a team that's in the playoff hunt or a team that's in the Stanley Cup hunt,
yeah,
he doesn't ever want to be that guy again that's selling off their future for the now.
Yeah.
So I actually think he did a pretty good job with that. I mean, we gave up, we paid the price over the past few years, but I think there were some big pickups we had throughout the years.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it was also nice to have transparency where where it was just all these moves and then it was dead silence. And he's actually like, no, like, you know, we know some of those moves weren't, you know, favorable or maybe moves that we necessarily wanted to make. But I mean, we're not just building for one season and then having to scrap everything the next and, you know, kind of figure it out. I mean, how many championship teams, they win a championship and then they lose half their team because,
exactly,
you know, they have money issues or whatever else.
Exactly. So I don't know. I guess my overall opinion on the moves today were just today was I liked all the moves he made.
Well, he grabbed a couple of like forward prospects and
they added some serious like depth to the prospects that we have. So we added a bunch of size. I don't know if you noticed that almost every player we picked up
was six foot tall. Yeah.
Some of them aren't so big. I know that who's that right-handed center we picked up from Vancouver?
Borgstrom?
No, fourth liner. We just traded Highmore for him.
Oh,
Adam.
Yeah, who the hell was that? Sorry. No, they had Borgstrom was their prospect center.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Adam Gaudette.
Gaudette, yeah.
He's over 6 foot. He's only like 170 pounds. So when people say we added size, like, yeah, we kind of added some size, but I guess it depends on how you're looking at it.
Maybe Lauri Markkanen's playing the wrong sport.
Yeah.
Maybe we finally have a role for him.
You imagine him out there on skates.
He doesn't have to move. They play in the same spot.
Like 7'3" on skates.
Yeah, just wake up one day and isn't he from Finland? He's got to have skated at some point in his life. Yeah. It's probably how he got to school or home on a moose or whatever happens in Finland. But yeah, they play in the same spot. So we just wake up one day and they hand him a pair of skates and be like, you do this now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I tend to be an optimist when it comes to the Blackhawks future. But if I am going to be honest with you, I worry that their defensive prospect pool, not that it's not good or big enough, but that it's not good enough.
Yeah, that they have too many defensive prospects and so none of them are going to work out.
Look at the young players that played this year, right? So Lucas Carlson, we've moved on from him.
Yeah.
Bokvist, I actually think, is taking some serious strides this year, but he's just one guy.
Yeah.
Mitchell came in, looked good, kind of faded off. I kind of don't think he's ready to be an NHL player right now.
Honestly,
at this point, I don't even think I'd bring him up next year.
No.
I'd keep him in the AHL.
Well, I think that they definitely rushed some guys probably to see what they have and then, you know.
Exactly.
Kind of figure it out from there, but I didn't think that they really needed to.
Yeah. Bodan's a similar story. I think Bodan looked fantastic his first few games with the Hawks. Kind of faded. And actually, now in the AHL, I think he's – He's got like 10 points in 8 games or something like that with the Ice Hogs. So Bodan is a guy, I actually think he can be a very good player, but I think he needs to spend some serious time in the AHL. And when you look at their defensive players that are NHL ready right now, a lot of them are older guys and you're either about to pay way too much money for them or they're about to get taken away from you in this expansion draft.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure Calvin DeHaan's going to be taken away in the expansion draft if they expose him.
Right. And if I completely forgot about Seattle coming.
Yeah, so if they don't expose him, that means they're going to be exposing Zadorov.
Yeah.
Which means you're losing Zadorov. And I don't even – oh, here we go.
I think they tried to
– look at that.
Here offers on him today.
Of course. David Camp, 0 goals.
I thought for sure they were going to trade his ass today, but
– yeah.
Lucked his way into staying.
I don't get the fascination with David Camp. I don't see it. Yeah, he's a great defensive player. He's got 0 goals. And I think he's played on the top line a little bit this year, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you've played all up and down the lineup. You've had Dominic Kubalik as a line mate. You've had DeBrincat, Kane.
Yeah.
And all these rookies with all this promise and 0 goals. It's like, sorry, bud. You're good defensively. I don't want you on the team.
Well, that's also my biggest issue is they have all these young guys, and then, like, you know, they're supposed to be faster on defense or, you know, better on offense, and then just none of it translates yet. It's like, and you have all these guys who are like, oh, like, this guy's a great defenseman, and then, like you said, he has 0 goals and doesn't even benefit him on defense.
Yeah, and back to what I was saying about Zadorov. So Zadorov, I don't know if you looked at anything with these contract talks. He's an RFA after this season.
I think they have enough cap space to.
Well, they do, but it's to me, it's not so much a matter of how much cap space you have. It's I mean, he could be a huge contract that they're trying to get out from under in a year or two. I mean, I think his qualifying offer is like close to $3.5 million, and they've offered him around there, and he's turned it down. And I'm betting he's looking in the over 400 or over 4 million range.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Zadorov, but that guy has some really, really bad plays. Really bad plays. Every time the puck gets on his stick, you're just waiting for something to go wrong. And I think he's a great defensive defenseman, but he gives you absolutely nothing. And he actually hurts you a lot of time offensively. Yeah.
Well, puck control is also like an absolute disaster half the time.
Exactly. And for over $4 million, I'd be a little worried about taking on a contract like that. But as I was saying, I think a lot of these defensive prospects they have, I don't really know if they're NHL, right? So I think the Hawks are in a weird position now where
they're going to have to start testing guys that probably aren't ready.
Either that, or you're going to have to go into the free agency and pick up some defensemen who are ready right now.
Yeah.
Which is, I know we've talked about it a couple of times over the past couple of weeks. I'd be going to Dougie Hamilton with a blank check.
Yeah.
Look, buddy, just name your price and we'll pay it.
Yeah. And there's also a chance that they build up all this capital with prospects or whatever, and then they end up having to use, you know, grab somebody from free agency or make this big money trade that they're going to have to get rid of 2 or 3 prospects each trade. And,
exactly.
You know, they stockpile them for essentially no reason because none of these guys are NHL ready for, you know, a couple more years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think they picked up second, third, fourth round picks. So, I mean, not that guys are necessarily made in the draft and that really proves anything. But,
no, I mean, I will say this. So, I think Bowman drafts better than people give him credit for. Because –
I mean, I think he makes stupid trades, though, or at least, you know.
In the past.
How many times can you trade Brandon Saad?
That's true. I don't know. I kind of think in the past, like, 3 years or so, I've liked the vast majority of his trades. I just think with Bowman, my big gripe with him is there's a couple moves he's made in his time with the Blackhawks that I just don't think are forgivable.
Yeah.
The Seabrook contract's one of them.
Yeah.
The Saad for Panarin deal is one of them. I mean, I think
we've talked about it ad nauseum. That the fact that Panarin wanted to stay, I was like, they should have fired Bowman on the spot.
Exactly. The Teravainen trade is borderline fireable.
The Tavo Teravainen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but in the past 3 years, I've actually liked a lot of the moves he's made. Everybody's down on Dylan Strome this year. I actually still like that trade a lot. I think Dylan Strome at his absolute floor is a very good top 9 forward.
Yeah. I mean, I think Strom doesn't get enough credit just because he's, you know, surrounded by everybody else.
I mean, he's just, I don't know. His big problem is he's just slow. That's what I see it as.
Yeah.
He's slow and he's playing in a system where, and with a lot of guys who went
out. Well, most of the guys are slow.
Yeah.
That was always their biggest issue, was that they have all these like young guys and whatever else, but I mean, they're not fast. And the Hawks are getting beat on, you know, power plays and whatever else because they can't keep up. Mm-hmm. And Duncan Keith, at some point, I'm assuming maybe he'll just fade into the ice or find something to do. But, I mean, that old man is out there, and he probably gives up more points than people actually even know. But, I mean, Hawks are 19-18-5. That's 43 points. They have one of the toughest schedules in hockey towards the back end. I mean, let's see here. I have it written down how disastrous their schedule is.
They still have the Canes.
Yeah. Lightning. So they get Detroit twice, which is nice. But then they get the Predators, who are currently the 4 seed. They get them 3 times. Then they get Tampa, who's the 3 seed. Then they get Florida, who's the 1. They get Florida twice. Then they get Carolina 3 times in a row. And then they get Dallas 7 times. Or it's not 7 times, twice, but they're the 7. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the Hawks essentially need to win 90% of those games against teams that they absolutely need to beat, and that's just not going to happen. I mean, again, that's just like the Bulls. That's fine. If you're building towards something, mm-hmm. you know, then you can afford to lose.
Yeah.
But.
Well, the Hawks have a lot more clear picture, I think.
Yeah.
At least as far as the forwards are concerned, on their path to becoming a better team. The Bulls, I think it's a little more up in the air because you really don't know if Coby White's part of the long-term plans. You know Lauri Markkanen is not at this point. Tice could be gone. I mean, Thad Young is, what is he, 35?
I think he's in his 30s. I mean,
yeah, so I think it's a little less clear with the Bulls. With the Hawks, as far as their forwards are concerned, I mean, you kind of know what they've got. Suter, you would think they want to be part of their long-term plans. Kurashev, the same thing. Hankel, the same thing.
Yeah.
You've got Reichel knocking on the door. Reichel, I think he's playing a top line center role, actually.
Thaddeus Johnson. Thaddeus Young is 32.
32.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the most surprising moves that they got. You know, Thaddeus Young, and it was like one of those like, you know, mid-range players where when he's good, he's good. When he's bad, you know.
I guess he kind of plays an old man's game though.
Yeah.
Which could be good for a guy who's going to be aging. Maybe he won't lose.
Yeah. I mean, how many of the young guys haven't performed? So throwing a 32-year-old, you know, power forward or whatever out there.
Yeah, but his game, it's not like he's beating guys with athleticism or speed or anything like that.
I mean, Coby White this year is really like, I don't want to say let me down, but I mean, he was so high and everybody was high on him, you know, last year. But I mean, some of these guys just have good seasons and then Chicago builds him up and they build a statue for him and then nothing ever happens. I mean, how many players are going to go down in, you know, Chicago sports history that had one good season? I mean, how many guys like are immortalized overnight? And then, you know, they sign contracts based on nostalgia. I mean, we were talking outside of this, you know, we were watching the Cubs and they hit Chris Bryant hit a home run and we were talking, oh God, or I think the Cubs are probably going to pull the trigger and they're going to sign this man for, you know, 8 years and $1 billion. And then he's going to fade into obscurity again.
Plus I don't want to get too far off topic, but with the Cubs, I just hope whoever gets the contracts,
good luck.
Well, I just hope they do right by Rizzo, whatever that is. If they're not going to give him a contract,
yeah,
I hope he's in the knows if they're not going to be giving him a contract the whole time.
Yeah, because
Rizzo deserves more than that.
Yeah,
I could just see them signing away all their extra money to someone like Chris Bryant or Javi Baez and just never coming back to Rizzo.
Yeah. Well, just expecting Rizzo to like, oh, like he's cool. Like he'll take a hometown discount or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, they offered him 5 years, $70 million or whatever. And he was like, yeah, no.
What does he want? He wants like,
he wants 100. Yeah. Which is about $20 million a year if it's 5 years. And I mean, I don't think that's outrageous. There's a first baseman. I mean, how many, like Fernando Tatis just got $320 million and he's injured.
They don't have any first base prospects anyways, do they?
No, I don't think they have anybody at first base. So not only to lose Rizzo just in general is bad, mm-hmm. but then to lose Rizzo and not have anybody in the system who plays first base. I mean, the other day they had Amaya playing first base, but he's a catcher.
Plus so, Amaya, has he even played in AAA yet? I don't think he has.
No.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so you have guys playing out of position in order to compensate if Rizzo leaves. I mean, who's your full-time first baseman? Bodie? Mm-hmm. They put Ian Happ at first base, and then what? I mean, they don't have any options past Anthony Rizzo. I mean, this year, if Anthony Rizzo gets hurt, then what? The team has no depth. So, I mean, I think you should just pay him. At this point, even if he bats 200 this season, I'd probably still give him $1 billion just because they have no other choice. And he's the only person that isn't, you know, well, he's been fairly consistent for the last, you know, X amount of years.
Did you notice, did he open up a bar
in Wrigley? Rizzo's?
Is that his place?
I don't think so. Right. I was thinking about that the other day. I was walking by and I was like, I don't know if this is his, but.
Hey, imagine that, opening up a bar and then.
And then they go, bye-bye. Yeah, then see you later. We're changing the name to Bryant's. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think realistically, the Cubs probably have four guys that they need to give money to. And I've gone back and forth who that second one was. The first one is Rizzo, and it's always been Rizzo. And I've fluctuated between, is it Contreras? Is it Baez? Is it Bryant? I think I've already mentally committed to it's not Bryant, and that's fine. I thought he was going to be gone before now. So to lose him, I've already mentally committed to him not being there. Yeah. But, I mean, Baez is swinging at baseballs that are in different ballparks. So I think you pay Rizzo and you pay Contreras and then figure out the other, you know, seven positions behind him or whatever. I mean, at that point, I would probably go with just a pitcher, Contreras and Rizzo, and then just have everybody else just not even be there and just kind of see what happens. I mean, everybody talks about how great Baez is at defense, but nobody realizes that Baez is only making those plays because Rizzo's on the other end of that ball.
That's also true. You see a lot of them that he's digging out.
Yeah, and he's digging it out or he's doing the splits, and everybody's like, oh, look at that perfect throw by Javi. And I was like, did you not see the man, like, kill himself to try to catch that ball? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, all Chicago sports are just giant letdowns for the most part. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, the last time one of these stupid teams besides the Cubs in 2016 weren't a letdown were the 2015 Blackhawks. I have a couple. I don't know if before I give you any of these trivia questions, there's anything on the wall that'll give away some of these answers. Now,
all right. Well, I'm just going to, I didn't tell you this. This is going to be rough. So the 2015 Blackhawks,
yeah. Well, I was going to give you 2015 because I was like 10 is two was 11 years ago. 13 was probably eight years ago.
So I don't know if you remember where I was in 2015, summer of 2015, but I actually saw zero games of the entire playoffs. So
Peter was at Fat Camp.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just remembering that now.
Yeah. So this is going to be rough.
Oh man.
Actually, I didn't see one game in the playoffs that year.
So you only watch clips, if that.
No, not even that. So I, well, yeah. So when I finally got back, I watched some YouTube videos,
yeah,
all the goals and stuff like that. But I mean, it's not the same, you know, all the ups and downs of the series. I have no idea how they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's why I've already set you up to fail. I should have looked at the date when it was like June 15th, 2015, when they won. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember where I was.
I got a letter in the mail with the Chicago Tribune in it after they won the Stanley Cup. And that's about that's about the extent of Everything.
Do you have surface level vague knowledge of?
Well, yeah, just because I was watching Hawks all before them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most of the time I tell people we're going to, you know, you can play for a t-shirt or whatever, but spoiler alert, the t-shirt was guaranteed. Yeah. You guys are playing just strictly for fun.
All right.
But for the next person on the podcast, which is either Casey or Danny, you guys will have to earn your t-shirt.
All right.
So let's go with, which should be an easy one. Hawks won the Stanley Cup in 2015, which was their third in 5 years. Who did they beat in the Stanley Cup?
Tampa Bay. I do know that.
Tampa Bay Lightning. Correct. So they beat the Lightning, but what three teams did they beat en route to Lord Stanley?
They beat the Predators.
The Predators.
And they beat the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
And then they beat the Ducks in 7 games. They
beat the Mighty Ducks in 7. Ooh, you're even throwing... Throwing other knowledge.
I do know that. I know like very surface level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I will tell you that you've already said this person's name,
uh-huh.
if that helps you at all. Two players, specifically wings, had 4 points in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Ooh.
Who are these two players?
And I've said their names?
You said one of them.
Well, I'm assuming one of them is Patrick Kane.
I can't tell you.
So who would have had Brandon Saad was on that team.
Saad was on that team, I believe.
Bosa was on that team. Until, wings or centers or wings?
Until Marian Hossa got allergic to his jersey.
Yeah. When you say wings, you mean like just I mean wings, like, no centers.
Yeah, right? Like left wing, right wing.
All right. I'm going to go with Kane and Bickle.
Kane and Bickle.
Was it really?
No.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It was Marian Hossa.
Oh.
And Tavo.
Was it really Teravainen?
Yeah.
I thought he never really blossomed with the Hawks, though.
No.
Did he?
Well, that's why I put it down, because I was like, no shit. Tavo had 4 points.
Yeah, he never really solidified himself as anything. I think he played on the third line the whole time just with the Hawks, didn't he?
Yeah.
I'm sure they like experimented with him here and there up higher in the lineup, but I think he's pretty much a third line guy the entire time.
I think if you had a picture of Tavo and a picture of Hjalmarsson and you said which one was which, I don't know if I could, I would bet my life that I couldn't get it right. Hjalmarsson, I saw outside of Starbucks by Wrigley.
That's their last year with Hjalmarsson, right?
Did
he play
maybe.
In 2016? I don't think he did.
No, that might have been his last season, too.
I think that was his last
season. He was wearing a fedora, and I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you can go.
Yeah.
And I once held the door open at a, what was it? It was a Noodles and Company, Brent Seabrook. It was raining, and I held the door open for him. He said, thanks, man. I should have tripped him.
No?
I should have tripped him, and he would have broke his hip earlier.
Do you recognize him or no?
I recognize him. He was holding his, like, daughter in his hand or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's like, thanks, man. And I was like, all my friends, me and Brent Seabrook are friends,
yeah,
obviously.
So. So for everyone listening, Seabrook's kind of an easy guy to pick out, but Lenny's like the king of seeing very obscure athletes wandering around Chicago and knowing exactly who they are for some reason.
I
feel like every other week you're giving me another story about some like
obscure.
I don't want to be insulting, but guys who you wouldn't be picking them out of a crowd.
No.
And you're calling out who they are.
I saw Ted Lilly outside of a Popeyes. I saw Steven Souza Jr. before he signed with the Cubs. And I tweeted at, what's his face?
That.
It was like Ken Rosenthal or whatever. The MLB, like, he breaks all, like, the breaking news. And I was like, just so you know, I saw Steve Souza outside of Wrigley. So if he signs, just know that I broke it first. And then I tweeted at him. And then guess what? He signed. And I tweeted at Ken. And I said, hey, like, are you going to give me credit? And then nothing. He gave me zero credit.
Is that Kubalik to Kalinuk, or who is that?
And as we're pooping on the Blackhawks, they just won in overtime against Columbus.
I couldn't see what number that was. Doc to someone with a left-handed shot. Maybe Kalinuk.
Oh, Domi came out just to walk back. Check to see if the game was still playing, and then
Brandon Hagel.
Brandon Hagel. There you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. But no, so I didn't see Tavo, but I saw John Morrison in a fedora. So there you go.
That's what I am. One for two or two for three?
You are 2 for 3.
All right.
2 for 3.
That's not so bad.
Which player did Lenny see outside? No. Who was in goal for game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals for the Blackhawks?
So who won it?
Well, who was in goal for game 6?
Crawford were the two goalies. I'm going to go with Crawford.
It was, in fact, Crawford. Yeah. And you just answered my other question. Now, of those 6 games, how many was Corey Crawford, the netminder?
In the finals?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with all 6.
It was all 6.
Yeah. If I had a bet, like I said, I didn't see any of them, but you're not, by the time you get to the Stanley Cup finals, you're riding a time with one goalie.
And you've already answered this, but name one of the backup goalies in 2015.
In 2015. All right, Darling.
Scott Darling. And Antti Raanta was also on the roster.
Was he?
I completely forgot that man existed in a Blackhawks jersey.
What does he hold? I think he holds the all-time save percentage record for the Blackhawks.
If he does, that's fantastic.
I think he does. And he's playing in the AHL this year.
Yeah.
Like behind like 3 rookie goalies.
Is Scott Darling the one that they traded to? Was that Carolina?
He was, I don't remember where they traded him to. He was from the Chicagoland area.
Yeah.
And he had, there's some story. I think he had some kind of personal problems before he made it to the NHL.
Yeah.
Kind of like turned his life around. So it's kind of a nice story when he came into the NHL.
Yeah.
And then was just on fire.
I wish I met Scott Darling outside of a random pizza joint or something.
Yeah.
That would have been a good story. So game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals, the Hawks won 2-0. Who were those 2 goals from?
Oh, man.
I will tell you, they're also current Blackhawks.
So if you're current Blackhawks, Keith won the MVP, right? So I believe so.
Keith was one of them.
I'm going to say Keith and Kane. You got to go with those two.
Duncan Keith and Patrick Kane were the 1-2 punch. Yeah.
All right.
So how many times were the Blackhawks shut out in the entire playoffs?
Were they shut out?
No, how many times were they shut out in the entire playoffs? Meaning they scored 0 goals in a game.
They swept the Wild. I know that.
They swept the Wild 4 games to nothing.
Uh-huh.
You've already said that they were 4-3 against the Ducks.
I'm going to say none of those were shutouts. I don't know that. But none of those.
So how many times were the Hawks shut out in the entire playoffs?
Yeah, probably against Nashville. It's either 0 or 1. I'll say 1 just because I don't know why else that would be a question.
How many times were the Hawks shut out in the entire playoffs? 0.
Was it 0?
They also had only 3 games with 1 goal. The rest were 2 or more.
All right.
You talked yourself out of it.
Yeah, I did. I'm just thinking.
You're like, oh, it's stupid if it's 0.
I just feel like even when the Hawks were beating Nashville like had the Hawks number. Always. Yeah. Nashville just always had the Hawks number.
Let's see here. Yeah, that was Nashville.
How many games,
4-2.
How many games did they lose to Nashville? You know they had to lose.
Yeah. So they were 4-2 against the Preds, 4-0 against the Wild, 4-3 against the Ducks, 4-2 against Tampa. Mm-hmm. I can't believe the Wild were like that bad, but
no, they weren't. That's why I know that actually. That's why I always feel so bad for the Wild because they were actually a pretty good team for. The whole run that the Hawks had is the best team in the NHL. And for whatever reason, they would always hit the Hawks in the playoffs. And, I mean, they couldn't win to save their lives.
Just a little brother syndrome where it's like, oh, no, dad's home.
Yeah. Honestly, if the Hawks don't make the playoffs this year, I might be rooting for the Wild.
I mean, I don't have anything against Minnesota, but I just remember they would show up and then all of a sudden they'd like run into a brick wall.
Yeah. I just feel bad. So I've actually met, I don't know, maybe 5 to 7 like Wild fans from Minnesota in my life. And they just always seem like they're actual fans.
Yeah.
You know,
the land of 10,000 lakes.
Yeah, maybe it's such a nice thing because like you're in Chicago and I'm not going to complain about being from Chicago, but
yeah.
I mean, bandwagon fans are in every sport. just everywhere. Yeah. I mean,
well, I mean, how many people after the Hawks won the Stanley Cup, you know, any of those 3 years where all of a sudden everybody's like, I watch hockey now. And it's like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You watched hockey for like 2 weeks in June.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then that was it.
I was in San Antonio when the Cubs were making their run for the World Series, and the amount of Cubs fans that you see in San Antonio with all brand new Cubs attire.
With the sticker still on?
Yeah, when you're watching at the bar, it's like, oh my gosh. And then they're trying to talk to me about it. It's like, look, it's fine if you want to root for the Cubs, but I'm trying to sit here and watch the game. I don't want to talk to you right
don't
now.
Don't try to pretend like we have something in common when you just started this like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So I got to say, when you went to Fat Camp, I got a girlfriend. The Cubs won the World Series. I was like, I think I like having you not around. Let's see. The Hawks, as previously stated, were no slouch on offense in the playoffs. The Hawks scored more or less than 65 goals in that entire playoffs, like against the Preds, against everybody. They scored more or less than 65 goals.
I have no idea.
Let me see. I hope I'm right, because I did the math on my own. So,
what did you say? They were 4-2 against?
Against the Preds.
The Preds. So that's 6. 10, 17.
So it was 19 games.
23 games. 4-2 in the
Stanley Cup. So that's 6, and then 4, that's 10.
So that's 6-6 is 12, 4 is 16, and 7 is 23.
Okay, so 23.
So 23, was it like 3, just over 3 goals a game? Yeah, I'll say, over.
Saying over 65?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to, be that guy who like does the math and goes, oh, 23 times 3 is 69, that's the exact amount of goals they had.
Is it?
Correct. Yeah, so they had a few games where they had 5 goals, and like I said, they only had 3 games where they had 1 goal. So a couple games where they had 4, and what a smart ass. You know what? This will be Peter's last podcast. So let's see. How many times were the Blackhawks on the brink of elimination against blank team? So how many times were they on the brink of elimination, and what was that team?
Well, what it had to have been Anaheim.
Correct.
Because they won all the other ones. They were never in an elimination game for the other ones.
Correct.
I think Anaheim had home ice in that series, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to bet it was 2 games against Anaheim. Down 3-2, and then they won the next 2. Is that how it went?
I believe so. Yeah, it's 2.
All right.
I did the math on it. If you carry the 1, it's 3 goals per 23 games. That's 69 goals. Whatever. This whole thing is horseshit. So you get a t-shirt.
How'd I do? 2 wrong? I think I got 2 wrong.
So you got the Tavo and Hossa 1 wrong. And then you got, let's see.
How's he doing this year?
Tavo?
Yeah, is he having a good year?
I didn't even know he was still playing. Isn't he like 100?
No. I don't even think he's 30. Right, look at this. 26 years old.
He's 26 right now?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was a young guy when.
Yeah. It just seems like it was 1,000 years ago
He was like.
He had to have been 19 when they won then.
You know how there's always
6-7 years ago,
like the Stan Bowman hype train about every prospect.
Yeah.
Like in the past couple of days, like you hear him talking, like what was that trade we just had with Florida? And
they got
Bjorkstrand.
Yeah.
Is that the guy's name?
Bjorkstrand.
Bjorkstrand. So I never heard of the guy, but I'm looking him up. He looks like he's big. He's a center. He's got a good face-off percentage.
Yeah.
He's had some injuries, so I guess that could be an excuse. But he doesn't look like he's someone who's going to be making the first or second line.
Yeah.
Even on the Blackhawks, right? And Bowman's on this like hype train with him talking about how I think he said something along the lines of like, he was one of the best college players I've ever seen. And it's like, come on, dude. And I think,
was Borgstrom the one out of Notre Dame?
No, he played with Ian Mitchell in Denver.
Oh yeah.
And no, everyone's from Notre Dame, so it seems
that way. I'm pretty sure one of these guys is Notre Dame.
One of the guys plays with that Landon Slager.
That's either Ryder Rolston or
that's him.
Oh, that's nailed him. It. First guess.
Bowman just loves Notre Dame guys. But I think Tavo was like one of the first guys that I remember. It was like Bowman was all about Tavo. Like he was going to be the one leading the charge of the next generation of Hawks. So I think they brought him up because I don't know if you notice this. It always seems like
born in 1990,
and then all of a sudden they're off in the NHL like way too early.
Yeah.
Right. So
that's like his move. We just got this young kid. Now let's see what he's worth. And it's like, no, you don't have to like bring him up that fast.
Exactly.
He's
26 and he's been in the league for 8 years. So at 18 or 19, he's coming up. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. And he was a little guy, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it just always seems to go that way. Bowman gets on
this year has him at 5'11, 178 pounds.
Yeah, not a big guy.
No. Or 81 kilograms, if that's how you measure.
It's one thing if you're that little and you're like a Jack Hughes.
Yeah.
Who can skate his way out of anything or puck handle his way out of anything and actually hang with the bigger guys. But I just feel like unless you're like those elite level talent guys, which I think Terrabine is a very good player, but he's not that guy.
His nickname was Turbo. Was Turbo it? Terrabine.
Yeah.
Turbo man. So they traded him. Oh. A year after they won the 2015 Stanley Cup.
He was a cap casualty.
Yeah, traded to the Hurricanes in exchange for, let's see. Yeah, he was traded to the Hurricanes along with Bickle in exchange for New York Rangers 2016 second round draft pick.
Yeah.
Acquired in the Eric Staal trade. Yeah,
they were trying to dump Bickle's contract, and I think he was part of that deal.
Typical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just one of the young guys that they were like, oh, he's probably going to be good. Let's give him to somebody else. I mean, I don't know how he's doing this year, but.
Here it says right here, 13 games played, 9 points.
Was he hurt?
He must be.
Yeah, 13 games, 9 points. I mean.
Yeah, he's a good player. But, I mean, he's on the Canes. The Canes, he's a good player.
Yeah, it's hard to be a bad player on the Carolina Hurricanes. But, let's see here. Free t-shirt. Oh, man, I'm always on my money on this podcast. My dad's like, are you doing long sleeves? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, what if I don't want to wear a long sleeve? He's like, get your own t-shirt then. I don't know what to tell you. He's like, well, I already won like 5 t-shirts. He's like, can't you make one of them a short sleeve?
Yeah, I need to confess. I didn't make my way through the entirety of his second podcast with you. How'd he do
that? Oh, his one?
How'd he do
his, was it the 2016? World Series trivia? No, the second episode was Rizzo.
Yeah.
So he was doing fine. I told him in advance that, you know, we were going to be doing Rizzo trivia, and then he like had a cheat sheet on him and was like rattling off all the stats for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew that he, like, I could tell what like Wikipedia page, like column he was reading from for his cheat sheet. So I was like, all right, I'm going to try to trick him. And I was like, we know that Anthony Rizzo got married, and he was like, Emily. And I was like, okay, his wife's name is Emily. What's his dog's name? And he's like, why the hell would anybody know what the damn dog's name is? And I was like, are you trying to get a t-shirt or are you just sitting here screwing around?
You didn't give him two, did you?
Two t-shirts?
Yeah.
No. Right. I haven't printed the t-shirts yet. Right. But he's already complaining that, it's long sleeve and summer's coming up. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Cut off the sleeves and go mow the lawn. I don't know what you do all day. Chicago, yeah. Like swimming weather is when it's 40. But you can either keep the sleeves, cut them off. Doesn't matter to me.
I like long sleeve shirts. So,
well, there you go. Another fan satisfied. So that was episode 5. You can go listen to the other 4. That's math. Yeah, my dad's on 2 of them. I had Matt Broach on the other one. I had James Moore on the last one. And then Peter, all of which were groomsmen or going to be groomsmen at my wedding if I still marry Peter's sister, which is always, you know, which is always on and off the table.
You still have some time.
That'll be a different podcast where you talk me out of it. I love you, Lizzie. Don't listen to this one. So I'm Lenny. He's Peter. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys later.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Lenny.